Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters, listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you to this episode tonight, I am excited because we are in a new book, 1 Kings. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. And another reminder, about every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, at which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like, for the host has graciously set up a chat room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, I want to, as I always do, personally take this time to thank all of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on this particular show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. Thank you so very much. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of Jesus Christ or God? God said, through King David, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts, and we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. That's taken from Psalm 65, verse 4. The promise is that you will be blessed if God has chosen you to come in to be a part of his life, his ministry. God said again through King Solomon this time, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whosoever findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Again, that's taken from Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34 and 35. The promise is, again, that you will be blessed if you respond to the wisdom of God. Again, God said through King David this time again, the Lord is known by the judgment which he executed. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Gain, meaning immediate exile. Psalms 9, verse 16. And again, the promise is that you are being wicked. You will suffer the consequences of wickedness. Now, as I said before, The question for this hour is and still stands again. Are we standing on these promises of God? Now, before we get started, I want to let you know, as I always do, that the Bible is written in code. That means that it's written in secrets, mysteries, parables, prophecies, proverbs, paradoxes, riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break the code, my precious brothers and sisters, is through study and learning. And that is why we are here tonight. Study and learn together. Okay, let's get to the study. Turn your Bible sources with me to 1 Kings chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verse 1 through 5, and then verse 8, and then verse 7. And what I want you to do as I go through these instructions, as I read the text, I want you to keep in mind these instructions. Solomon enlists King Hiram to help build the temple. Now, what I'm doing, as I've told you before, in each chapter of each book we're in, I'm taking at least one instruction. And this instruction for tonight in chapter 5 begins with Solomon enlisting King Hiram to build the temple. And this is what it says. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that he had anointed him king in the room of his father. For Hiram was ever a lover of David. And Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, thou knowest how that David my father could not build a house unto the name of the Lord his God, for the wars which he were about him on every side, until the Lord put them under his foot as the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occupant occurrence. And behold, I purpose to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build a house unto my name. Verse 8 continues the thought. And Hiram sent to Solomon, saying, I have considered the things which thou sendest to me, for I will do all that thy desires concerning the timber and concerning the timber of fir and of cedar. And verse 7, and here came to pass, when Hiram heard the words of Solomon, that he rejoiced greatly and said, blessed be the Lord this day, which has given unto David a wise son over his people. So this tells us that Hiram agrees to help David build his temple. Now, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16 as the complement, and listen to how this building is significant. Solomon asked Hiram to help him build the temple. Now Jesus is asking you and I to help us build the temple of Christianity. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are also the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, for on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. My precious brothers and sisters, that is how we build the temple of Christianity, or the temple of God in ourselves even to this day. And that is what I want you to get from this particular instruction. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn your Bible sources back with me to First Solomon or First Kings. We're going to look at chapter 6 this time. First Kings chapter 6, verse 37 and 38. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 37 and 38. And what I want you to keep in mind is this instruction as I read the text to you. Solomon built the temple in 7 years. Solomon built the temple in 7 years. It took him 7 years to build that temple. Now I see we're at our first break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
In the morning, you'll be all right. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his soul? A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. And know that I am with you always, yes, to the end of time. When you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, you will save it. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're on this instruction number 11, and it is saying that Solomon built the temple in 7 years. Let's hear what 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 37 and 38 says about this. In the fourth year was the foundation of the house of the Lord laid, in the month of Zeph. And in the 11th year, in the month of Bull, which is the eighth month, was the house finished throughout all the parts thereof, according to all the fashion of it. So was King Solomon, he was 7 years in building it. So King Solomon built the house in 7 years. Now let's go to Luke chapter 24, and we're going to see what Jesus has to tell us about building our house, how long it will take. 24, verse 44 through 49. Listen to what Luke has to say, or Jesus has to say in Luke. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and die and to rise from the dead the third day. 3 days, my brothers and sisters, and that remission and repentance of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And ye are the witnesses of these things. And behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with the power from on high. And that is what Jesus said, that 3 days is how long it took for him to resurrect to start the church. The significance in what I want you to get from this particular Solomon building the temple and Jesus building Christianity. 3 days. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to turn back the sources to 1 Kings. We're going to look at chapter 7 this time. We're going to look at verse 13 and verse 14. And what I want you to do is pay attention to this instruction as I read the text to you. The temple furnishings were built by King Hiram of Tyre. Okay? Now this is telling us that King Solomon had help in building the temple. Jesus the Christ has help in building the temple. Of course, God the Father and God the Holy Ghost. But anyway, let's listen to what the text says about Hiram helping King Solomon. Verse 13 and verse 14 in 1 Kings chapter 7. And King Solomon and sent and fetched Hiram out of Tyre. He was a widower's son of the tribe of Naphtali, and his father was a man of Tyre, a worker in brass, and he was filled with wisdom and understanding and cunning to work all works in brass. And he came to King Solomon and wrought all of his work. So you can see that that's what King Hiram did for King Solomon. Now let's go to Revelations. Bring your Bible sources with me to Revelations chapter 21. And we're going to see how this temple is going to be built, or the furnishings of the temple is going to be built by God through Jesus Christ at the end. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 through 5. Listen, my precious brothers and sisters, this is significant. This is concerning us right now today. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. All right, these are the furnishings. And I heard a great voice out of the heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these things are true and faithful. God will make all things new. He will furnish the new creation, as Hiram furnished the furnishings for the temple. And that is what I want you to get from this instruction. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to 2 Kings chapter 8, and we're going to take another lesson or instruction out of chapter 8. I want you to look at verse 1 through 4, or I'll read verse 1 through 4 for you, and this is the instructions that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. The Ark of the Covenant brought into the temple. That is critical, my precious brothers and sisters. That is where God resides, in the Ark of the Covenant. We just read that when the temple will be built with man, the tabernacle or ark will be in man, and God is that ark. Okay, let's read and see what it says about King Solomon in this ark that he brought to the temple. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 1 through 4, and this is what it says. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the king of the fathers of the children of Israel, King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. And I see we're at the second break. Let's take this second break, and then we will continue with this lesson.
God said there's coming a day when I'm going to shake the world. But some things will not be shaken. Some things remain. In other words, there's coming a time when the world will be pressed and there'll be no way out. Those times come in your life, in your home. Tension, friction, financial trouble. You're pressed and there doesn't seem to be a way out. There is an answer. There is a way. Jesus said, I am the way. But in the midst of all this changing, there are some things that never change. Think of it a moment. What never changes? The nature of God doesn't change. God hasn't changed. He hasn't changed to adapt himself to our generation. God is unchanging. I am the Lord God, I change not. God is unchanging in his holiness. We're all guilty of coming short of God's holy requirements. And we're all sinners, and we're all in need of the grace and mercy of God. And that's why the Lord Jesus came and died on the cross. He died for your sins. He died for mine. And God took your sins and laid them on Christ. God changes not in his holiness. And let me tell you, because he is our holy God, he is also unchanging in his judgment. There is a judgment day coming. Our God is a consuming fire. The Bible is filled with stories of judgment. Our Lord talked more about hell than he did heaven. There is a day of judgment coming. God is a holy God, and you and I are going to stand there. Stand there. I'm not going to ask for justice. I'm going to ask for mercy. I need mercy. I need the grace of God. I need the forgiveness of God. And I want to tell you a wonderful thing. God loves you, and he offers you tonight forgiveness, and he offers you mercy. God can forgive every sin you've ever committed. God can wipe the slate clean because of Christ. Not because you deserve it. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't buy your way to heaven. God is unchanging. He's unchanging in his love. God loves you. That's the most wonderful thing to go to bed with at night, to know that God loves me. God forgives me. God is interested in me. But I must receive him. Secondly, the word of God does not change. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. I settled that a long time ago. There are a lot of things in this Bible I don't understand. There are questions you could ask me that I cannot answer. I don't know all the answers in this book. How can a finite mind like mine comprehend the infinite? I cannot. So one day I opened the Bible and I said, "Oh Lord, I accept this as your word by faith." And that settled it from that moment on. When I quote the scriptures, I know that I'm quoting the word of God. It's a living word. And lastly, the way of salvation has not changed. All these centuries, the way to the kingdom of God is exactly the same. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." He will never change. But you must change.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers, we were on the, and sisters, we were on the instruction of the Ark of the Covenant brought into the temple. And I was reading the scripture that tells us that in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 1 through 4. Verse 1 I've already read, so let's continue with verse 2. "And all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto King Solomon at the feast in the month of Ethamim, which is in the seventh month. And all of the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark. And they brought up the ark of the Lord and the tabernacle of the congregation and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle. Even those did the priests and the Levites bring up. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him were with him before the ark, sanctifying sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for multitude." So that tells us that after the temple was made or completed, that the ark, which contained the essence of God, was brought in to the temple. Now let's look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1, and we're going to get a sense of the same. This is the complement, the New Testament giving us a similarity or a reference to the same thing today, which we are more connected with and responsible for applying than the Old Testament, because we're under a new covenant. Listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1 through 4. "Then verily the first covenant had also the ordinances of divine device and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table, the showbread, and which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of holies, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the table of the covenant." So that was the Ark of the Covenant, and which and what was in it that went into the temple in Jerusalem. Now listen to what Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7 and 9 says, and this is what's significant to us today. Listen, my brothers and sisters. "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with them, with their fathers, in the day which I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord God." Now that tells us, my brothers and sisters, that a new covenant has been made. And Jesus is that new covenant. Jesus says, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." And we know that later on in the gospel it says that no one comes to Jesus but by way of the Father. So that is significant to note. So that is what I want you to take from this particular instruction. Now let's go back to 1 Kings. We're going to look at another instruction, 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10 and verse 11. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. God's presence fill the holy place. So we know that, again, if you do not receive today the presence of God, then you are incomplete in the building of your temple. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? Now, this is how the presence of God filled the holy place in Solomon's time, in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10 and 11. Listen to what it says. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister before, because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. So in that cloud was the glory of God. My precious brothers and sisters, today this is what we should understand. And the example came at Pentecost. Listen to what happened to Acts. Let's turn our Bible compliments, our New Testament compliments, to Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. And this is when the presence of God has entered into us, my brothers and sisters. Listen to how it was portrayed at Pentecost. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were seated. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. My precious brothers and sisters, when God comes and fills you presence, you will be filled with the Holy Ghost. And that means that you will then have completed the building of the tabernacle. You will have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is the one that gives you the fulfillment, or that presence of God. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn your resources back with me to 1 Kings chapter 8, and we're going to look at another instruction from chapter 8, verse 15 through 20. And this is the one I want you to keep in mind as I read the instructions to you, or as I read the text to you. I want you to keep in mind these instructions. The instruction is, David intended to build the temple himself. So David, he intended to build the temple to God. But of course, we know that God would not allow David to build the temple, but his son Solomon would build the temple. So again, in us, we cannot build the temple to God ourselves. We must have Jesus do it for us. And that is so significant to note. Anyway, this is where the 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 15 through 20 talks about that. Listen to what it says. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which spake with his mouth unto David my father, and hath with his hand fulfilled it, saying, since the day that I brought forth my people Israel out of Egypt, I chose no city out of all the tribes of Israel to build a house, that my name might be therein. But I chose David to be over my people Israel. And it was in the heart of David my father to build a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And the Lord said unto David my father, whereas it was in thy heart to build a house unto my name, thou didst well that it was in thy heart. Nevertheless, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son that shall come forth out of thy loins shall build the house unto my name. And the Lord God had performed his word that he spake. And I am risen up in the room of David my father, and sat on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. So we cannot build the house just like David could not build the house, even though we might sense ourselves obedient to God. Remember, David was a man after God's own heart. But David was not allowed to build a house. We may be after God's own heart as David, but we must come through Jesus. He's the one that has been assigned or anointed to build a house. Now let's go to Mark. Mark chapter 9, verse 2 through 10. And this is what the Gospel of Mark tells us about that. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and leadeth them up into a mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his raiments, I see we're at the next break. Let's take that break, and then we will continue with this lesson.
Whenever you start your day, you need to start it with God. And you need to do some things on purpose. You need to make a decision. This is the day the Lord has made. I will enjoy this day. Make an announcement to the devil, who is the joy thief. I will enjoy this day. I'm putting on my righteousness. I know who I am in Christ. I'm putting on my peace. Jesus gave me peace. I'm not going to get upset today if I don't get my way about everything. If getting things right with God, first thing when you get up, whenever your morning is, if it wasn't important, then it wouldn't say it all over the Bible. Get up early in the morning and take care of the hard tasks. Get them out of the way first. Don't let some job you have to do threaten you all day and make you dread the day. David got up early the day he killed Goliath. Come on, you're not going to kill your giants laying in bed hitting the snooze button. I think every morning we need to dedicate ourselves to God. Let's look at Psalm 25, verse 1. Unto you, O Lord, do I bring my life, plain and simple. I get that psalm out very frequently and read it. I love Psalm 25, 1. Unto you, O Lord, do I bring my life. It's a great thing to do every morning. Just sit or stand or kneel or whatever you're comfortable and just lift up your hands and say, here I am, Lord, I'm yours.
Every morning we have to go to Him and say, God, show me my assignment. Show me what to do. Show me where to go. Give me the words to speak. Asking for wisdom, for guidance, that's an act of surrender. It takes humility to say, God, you know what's best for me. I can't do this on my own. I need your help. Open the right doors. Close the wrong doors. Make the path clear. The scripture says, when you acknowledge God in all your ways, He will direct your path. But too often, we make our plans without consulting God. Then we ask Him to bless those plans. We wonder why it's a struggle, why it feels like it's always uphill. We have it backwards. We're making a move and then asking God for help. The right way is to ask God first. God, what do you want me to do? Should I date this person? Should I start this new project? Should I make this purchase? If you feel peace about it, then move forward. If not, hold off, knowing that God knows what's best for you. When every morning you ask God for wisdom, you are showing your dependency on Him. When you humble yourself like that, the scripture says God will exalt you. A lot of people these days, they're too prideful. Think, I don't need any help. I can do this on my own. Joel, look at how successful I am already. Think about where you could be if you'd start acknowledging God. Think about the mistakes He could have saved you from. Think about the opportunity, the favor, the doors you couldn't open, but God can open. Don't do it on your own. That will limit you.
Set your mind every morning. I'm going to be a peacemaker and a maintainer of peace. I'm going to be adaptable. If I don't get my way, then I'll just adapt and be happy anyway. And extremely important, Galatians 10, be mindful to be a blessing. Spend a little bit of time every day thinking about something you can do for somebody else and do it early. Set your mind to compliment everybody you get around. Find something nice that you can say to them. We think sometimes, oh, that's a nice outfit you got on, or boy, your hair is pretty. Well, why not open your mouth and say so? What you think doesn't bless anybody. Tell them. The more you compliment other people, the better you feel. Make your mind up to compliment the person that you're married to at least 5 times today. Do you know your marriage could be saved if you'll do that? And not only that, people will respond to the positive things you say to them, and they'll start wanting to make you happy. You can't just complain about everything you don't like. Be mindful to be a blessing. Come on, I dare you every morning to think of somebody that you can be a blessing to.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Now here's our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's continue with the instruction. David intended to build the temple himself. And remember, we already read how God would not allow him to build the temple because of the ordinance of God. The decision and determination of God was that his son would build the temple. And with us, if we think we can build the temple without Jesus Christ, again, we're mistaken. It is the Son of God that has been ordered to do that. And this is what the compliment in Mark chapter 9, verse 2 through 10 tells us, and we were reading it just before the break. Let's continue with the reading. And it says, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up into a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining, exceedingly white as snow, so that no fuller on earth could white them. And there appeared unto them Elisha with Moses. And they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let's make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, or Elias. For he was not what, for they were so afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. My precious brothers and sisters, Jesus says, I am the way. I am the light. I am the truth. No one comes to the Father but by me. And we know the rest of the story. So it is Jesus who builds the temple. And that is one reason why, out of all of those who are in various faith practices are breaking down and cannot come to the glory of the God of creation, is because the temple is built by the Son. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 8 and get another instruction, verse 22 through we'll see. We'll start at verse 22, and this is the instruction, Solomon's prayer of dedication for the temple. This is significant. This is where Solomon asked God for a favor, and we know that that favor was granted to Solomon. More especially, it was brought out in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Where God gave Solomon the answer to his request. This is where Solomon made that request initially, the prayer after the dedication of the temple. Listen to what it says in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 22. It says, and Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no like God like in thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepeth covenant and mercy with his servants that walk before thee with all their hearts, who hath kept with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised to him, thou speakest also with thy mouth and hast fulfilled it with thy hand as it is this day. Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him, saying, there shall no fail there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that thy children take heed to thy ways, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. And now, God of Israel, let thy words, I pray thee, be verified, which thou speakest unto thy servant David my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the earth and the heavens of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have built? Yet ye have respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to my prayer which thy servant prayed before thee this day. Listen to my brothers, sisters. Solomon continues by saying, that thy eyes may be open toward this house night and day, even toward the place which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto this prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. And what Solomon is saying is that you would listen, even though that there are things that are happening or are mishappening to the people of Israel, if they would turn to this place and pray to them, that you would hearken unto them and would satisfy them. And this is how he put it in the latter parts of the prayer. And Solomon says, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he had promised. They hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. The Lord our God be with us as he was with our father. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him to walk in all of his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our father. And let these my words, which in I made supplication before the Lord God, be nigh unto the Lord God day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times as the matter shall require, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord God, and that there is none else. Let your heart, therefore, be perfect with the Lord our God to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments at this day. This is what King Solomon offered, and he added, if you read all of the verses, which I'm not going to read to you, that you will receive God's mercy if you humble yourself and request it at the temple. Now, I see we're at the last break of the evening. Let's take that break, and then we will continue with this lesson.
Whenever you start your day, you need to start it with God. And you need to do some things on purpose. You need to make a decision. This is the day the Lord has made. I will enjoy this day. Make an announcement to the devil, who is the joy thief. I will enjoy this day. I'm putting on my righteousness. I know who I am in Christ. I'm putting on my peace. Jesus gave me peace. I'm not going to get upset today if I don't get my way about everything. If getting things right with God, first thing when you get up, whenever your morning is, if it wasn't important, then it wouldn't say it all over the Bible. Get up early in the morning and take care of the hard tasks. Get them out of the way first. Don't let some job you have to do threaten you all day and make you dread the day. David got up early the day he killed Goliath. Come on, you're not going to kill your giants laying in bed hitting the snooze button. I think every morning we need to dedicate ourselves to God. Let's look at Psalm 25, verse 1. Unto you, O Lord, do I bring my life, plain and simple. I get that psalm out very frequently and read it. I love Psalm 25, 1. Unto you, O Lord, do I bring my life. It's a great thing to do every morning. Just sit or stand or kneel or whatever you're comfortable, and just lift up your hands and say, here I am, Lord, I'm yours.
Every morning we have to go to him and say, God, show me my assignment. Show me what to do. Show me where to go. Give me the words to speak. Asking for wisdom, for guidance, that's an act of surrender. It takes humility to say, God, you know what's best for me. I can't do this on my own. I need your help. Open the right doors. Close the wrong doors. Make the path clear. The scripture says, when you acknowledge God in all your ways, He will direct your path. But too often, we make our plans without consulting God. Then we ask Him to bless those plans. We wonder why it's a struggle, why it feels like it's always uphill. We have it backwards. We're making a move and then asking God for help. The right way is to ask God first. God, what do you want me to do? Should I date this person? Should I start this new project? Should I make this purchase? If you feel peace about it, then move forward. If not, hold off, knowing that God knows what's best for you. When every morning you ask God for wisdom, you are showing your dependency on Him. When you humble yourself like that, the scripture says God will exalt you. A lot of people these days, they're too prideful. Think, I don't need any help. I can do this on my own. Joel, look at how successful I am already. Think about where you could be if you'd start acknowledging God. Think about the mistakes He could have saved you from. Think about the opportunity, the favor, the doors you couldn't open, but God can open. Don't do it on your own. That will limit you.
Set your mind every morning. I'm going to be a peacemaker and a maintainer of peace. I'm going to be adaptable. If I don't get my way, then I'll just adapt and be happy anyway. And extremely important, Galatians 10, be mindful to be a blessing. Spend a little bit of time every day thinking about something you can do for somebody else and do it early. Set your mind to compliment everybody you get around. Find something nice that you can say to them. We think sometimes, oh, that's a nice outfit you got on, or boy, your hair is pretty. Well, why not open your mouth and say so? What you think doesn't bless anybody. Tell them. The more you compliment other people, the better you feel. Make your mind up to compliment the person that you're married to at least 5 times today. Do you know your marriage could be saved if you'll do that? And not only that, people will respond to the positive things you say to them, and they'll start wanting to make you happy. You can't just complain about everything you don't like. Be mindful to be a blessing. Come on, I dare you every morning to think of somebody that you can be a blessing to.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we've heard Solomon's prayer when he dedicated the temple. Now let's hear Jesus' prayer when he has been glorified with God. And this is taken from John chapter 17, verse 1 through 26. And listen to what Jesus says, as Solomon says, which is so significant for us to do, because we know that the temple in Jerusalem has been destroyed and there is a new covenant. So what Solomon was asking God is no longer valid. Now what Jesus is asking God is valid, and this is for us, His followers. Listen to what He says in John chapter 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus when He lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. And He continues with verse 5, And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thy own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. I manifested Thy name unto the men that Thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them to me, and they have kept Thy word. And continuing with verse 10, it says, And all mine are Thine, and Thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to Thee, Holy Father, keep through Thy holy name those whom Thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because thou art not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. My brothers and sisters, what I'm reading to you is John chapter 17, verse 1 through 26, and you can complete the reading yourself. This is what Jesus is saying to the Father with respect to us. And, of course, the Father himself has given Jesus the okay that if we were to respond this way to him, that we would receive what Jesus is saying in the prayer. And I'll conclude when he says in the prayer, verse 25, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name. And I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. And he said, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that thou may behold, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, from thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So our end result is to be with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost forever in heaven. Amen. Okay, let's turn now. That's what I want you to get from that reading. Let's turn back now to 1 Kings chapter 9. We're going to look at verse 1 through 9. And I want you to keep this instruction in mind as I read the text to you. God's answer to King Solomon's prayer. This is how God answered King Solomon. And we, of course, know that God answered Jesus too. And we'll get to that after we read what God said to King Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 1 through 9. And this is what the text says. And it came to pass when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord and the king's house and all Solomon's desires, which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to King Solomon the second time as he had appeared unto him in Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me, and I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and uprightness, and to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and I will keep, and thou wilt keep my statutes and judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. But if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye are your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed my name, and I will cast them out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all the people. And we know, my brothers and sisters, to this day that's the case. And this, and at this house, which is high, everyone that passes by it shall be astonished, and shall hiss, and shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and to their house? And they shall answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought them, their fathers, out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them and served them. Therefore hath the Lord brought upon them this evil. So we know today that the temple is no longer. So that covenant has been abolished. And now let's go to the New Testament. Let's go to John chapter 12, verse 23 through 28. And this is what God certified through Jesus answering him when Jesus requested the prayer that we read earlier in the last instruction. John chapter 12, verse 23 through 28. This is what it says. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. And if any man serve me, let him follow me, and I am shall he also be my servant. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And then he said, Father, glorify thy name. Then came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. My precious brothers and sisters, that ends the instructions for this evening. And the host and I would again thank you for your attendance and for taking part. And we ask that the God bless you, and we say to you good night.
Thank you for listening to Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE. I hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Monday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Good night.